Hello, all. It is, gee, what day is it? It's the 29th of August, 2023. I don't really follow years other than, astrologically trying to track time. I do subscribe to sort of a timelessness modality in many ways, but so much has happened, and I have been personally dealing with a lot of issues with respect to my own life and things that affect my chart. So I usually go in and sort of really try to reflect and handle those things in a way that gives me a road ahead when aspects are pretty intense. And right now, with my personal chart, which has no interest for all of you, I'm sure, it's pretty damn busy. I'm here in Santa Monica in LA, and there are people that I'm sure listen to this podcast or whatever from other countries on Spotify and other platforms. And as they are probably aware, if they're interested in this topic beyond coffee table type astrology, there's a lot of stuff going on in this country, and it has to be done. We're at the 28th, 29th degree of Pluto in Capricorn, which is conjoining, as I've said many times, our US chart natal Pluto in Capricorn. Our sun is in Cancer, so it's opposing that, but not by degree. It's separated. The degrees are not exact. And our moon is in Aquarius, meaning the US chart. So we are having, actually, by looking at our US chart, a what I would call and perhaps some astrologers or many that do this stuff, a U.S. constitutional crisis right now. It's actually happening now. It certainly was, very active during the Trump years in the White House. He came down from the escalator from The Apprentice show that he was fired from. He got fired. They just canceled the show. I really wish they have kept it. It would have kept him busy for many years. And then walked right into a bunch of people saying you should run for president, which they had done before for many years, all of his minions and his hanger-oners and his devotees in New York and elsewhere. I mean, they had pushed this for a long time. So it's not like it was anything new as far as pushing it, but the election itself, which is now being challenged in Georgia, in New York, in Florida, and DC, yeah, in DC. So he's got four indictments going on, or potential indictments. When you have that going on, you have 91 counts against you, something's going to stick somewhere. So all of these people in state legislatures and people that have followed this in really had to go through the January 6th debacle on Capitol Hill. Horrible. People died and people were injured for life, which I've commented on my Instagram page. They're like, well, you can't just push this aside. This man is, guzzling shrimp at his shrimp bar at Mar-a-Lago, and he incited a lot of people to go fight for him. I'm sure Napoleon and every other dictator in the world, either in previous centuries or now, is going, yay, yay, keep going. Why he did, or what's coming out of him, is ludicrous, because he's really just doesn't give a damn about any of them. He is what Jung and Freud call the walking id. He's just no filtered, nothing, this is what I was told, and this is what I do. He loves to use other people's money. He's very happy about that. He's like Gordon Gekko in that old movie Wall Street, without any filter, or any responsibility. I mean, at least when Gordon Gekko got up there, he said greed is good, and he looked at these people in this film, as a particular character in this movie, indicative of icons of Wall Street and other people that do this kind of work. And greed is good, and I'm telling you that. And so he was the Church of Greed or whatever. And at least he looked them in the eye and said that. Instead of running to a place and holding up a Bible upside down when there's a protest of Black Lives Matter, which they had every right to protest, nobody was hurting anybody. And he's just basically trying to stay in power, and in the most idiotic and imbecilic of fashions, in my opinion, and in many others' opinion. Not that I care, because I'm not foisting my opinion about him on anybody, but I will speak it. And he's just the walking id that Trump is finally getting a day of reckoning. And he's had a lot of free rein, and my opinion is once he's gone, or once this all fleshes out to whatever it's going to be in his life, and he's out of the picture, I do not in any way looking at the aspects, as well as my own observation of news and reading and just the way things are going with this human being, this incarnation of his. I doubt he will be president again. I have no idea who the Republicans will put forward, but he's not, he won't be it. If he is, they might as well, hang up their toe shoes or whatever they do, because all he's doing, every time he sees a pile of doo-doo, and I'm using that lightly, he just runs for it and steps in it. I mean, it's just amazing psychologically, like to watch it from that perspective, how much there's an assertion of power, as well as the continual level of self-sabotage that goes on. There's a mugshot, he's selling it. It's a mugshot merch. And he's client number or prisoner number or whatever, that number under him, and he's giving a mean look like he's gonna bite an otter, or kick somebody out of his hotel room, or yell at a waiter that doesn't bring him his Big Mac on time. And he's selling it, and he's putting under there election interference, which I find so ironic, because that's exactly why he's in a Georgia courtroom, getting an arraignment and working with a Georgia bailsman. Bail person. Don't you have the money? I mean, you own a lot of properties, and MBS is doing live golf or whatever it's called. They Saudis, they have tons of money buried under the sand for you, and Jared's friends with them. So it's like you need a bail bondsman in Georgia to do this. So all of this is just a lot of crazy ass incongruity going on, but yet so predictable in so many ways. So that's going on, and as I study some of these aspects, I'm not going to really go on ad nauseum about it, because he's just walking, he's walking constantly into traps, and apparently joyfully, gleefully doing it with anybody that will allow him to do it, because he's the nightmare client. His lawyers, even though they say you gotta, put $3 million into my account today, or I'm not doing a thing for you, which I would do the same thing. And then they get out in front of a judge, and they have these ridiculous, just ludicrous times when he's going to, we want a trial in 2026 or 2027 or 2020, it's like, so just let him run for president. He's got indictments all over the country. He's like a walking crime scene. But, this is what we want, and we want to make sure you give it to us. And she's like, she or he, in this case, she, no, that's not going to happen. That's way, he left office a long time ago. But if nothing else, Donald Trump is like a kind of a nasty squid that. Like alien that kind of jumps on your face, and the suckers are on your face, meaning I would say the US here. And you have to pull each tentacle off one by one to get this guy, this id, walking id, to release his grip on everything. And he was trained to do this in New York because he had Roy Cohn as his the guy that his dad gave him as a attorney, and we all know about him, at least in this country. You can look at, you can bio him, and he's got biographies and stuff. And he was basically led around by Roy Cohn because he didn't have the chops for it. He's, he always throws everybody out there in the ring to do his fighting for him. He's certainly not a gladiator with honor. He doesn't, he yells and screams freedom, and then everybody goes, yay, whoever's devotees are. And I would just say Jim Jones, that guy who brought everybody to drink Kool-Aid in Africa, would love to have his following. I mean, I'm sure that was his dream. And he promised them life forever. This guy is knocking people off in courtrooms because of his actions or them following him. So if they think that that's cool and they want to stand by your man, do that song with a sad violin on the Titanic, then that's their choice. So today I'm going to talk about the just briefly about tomorrow's full moon in Pisces, a big blue moon, full moon in Pisces, and all you Pisces people should enjoy it. Full moons always indicate the completion of a cycle, and they can be connected to solar eclipses, lunar eclipses, and also in your own charts, to your own cycles. But anybody bearing, within the early degrees, I would say 0 to 10 to 11 in Pisces, their sun, their Saturns, their moons, their ascendants, any position that you may have within the sign of Pisces, planetary position, that you will feel a sense of completion and renewal. And I say that because as it's very prevalent in astrological interpretation and study to say that full moons are sort of the completion of things. You sort of, it's done. There's a cycle that has been completed, which of course is obvious. It does mean that it's very much completed, but also you go on to something new. So you end one thing, it's very much like Buddhic principles, and you begin another at the same time. So it isn't just the ending. I mean, you can have a drink and enjoy it and go, wow, it's the ending of the full moon in Pisces. It's on my sun, it's on my Mars, it's on my Mercury, it's on my Saturn. There can be an ending, and there can be a feeling of it, I completed it in some ways for people. If they're hitting the outer planets in their chart, they will feel like, oh God, I'm exhausted, and what did I get out of this? Or, oh God, I'm so glad this is over and I feel better. And then the next day or the next few hours, as the moon moves on, as we know it does, the ephemeral moon, it will be new energy that comes in. Now we're starting another cycle. Yes, I am a big proponent of understanding the outer planets much more, which begins with Saturn, to some degree, and then moves on through Uranus and Neptune and Pluto and Jupiter. Well, that's not quite an outer planet, but somewhat. And all of those things are very important because they're long-term transformational aspects that hit. So, if you have Saturn in Pisces, depending on what degree it is, and a lot of you people that were born in 1964 to 66 to 67, mainly, I would say late 60, well, no, I'd say 65 to 67, somewhere in there, have Saturn in Pisces. So the full moon will be hitting your Saturn, which is a very major thing when you think about it. The moon is, giving you a completion of a cycle. Saturn is now transiting through Pisces, so you've got a double whammy there, depending on the degree. And I always give a lot of people give only a 5-degree orb for, big events or big connections that happen, and big events and changes that happen in a person. But I always give it, and I was trained by some really good astrologers years and years ago. I always give it a 7-degree swath, like where the impact will be felt. Sometimes in 10, but mainly 0 to 7. And it's not like even if you have Saturn or any other planet in Pisces beyond a 7-degree Sun in Pisces, Mercury, whatever it may be, Saturn is a big one, you won't feel it this particular full moon. But it's in your sign, and there's going to be a level of connection to the energies of it. It is more open, it's more accepting, it's definitely the ultimate in watery, open, giving emotion. Pisces is, as I've said in podcasts before, it is truly the martyr and the at its worst in many ways, because it shouldn't always martyr itself, but it is definitely the giver. And when the giver chooses to give with no thought of themselves, meaning their self, their ego, I would say, not the soulic process, but their ego, then they give without strings attached. They give, as the word goes, unconditionally. So you will feel that. You will feel a swath, you Saturn and Pisces people, of with this full moon tomorrow, of I wouldn't say giving up. I would just say allowing the process to work, letting the river flow where it flows. And those that are more aware and in check and tune with their spiritual motives and their purpose in life, and have a desire to connect with what is the most harmonious thing for them. And this could be anything. I'm not saying it's, I meditate all day and that's the most harmonious thing. It could be. But there are people that are very into materialism, and they could be on Wall Street going, "Well, shit, I had a great day, excuse my language. I made some money today," and there you could be hitting their Saturn, and that may last for a while. But the kind of work that I'm trying to put out here, and when I work with clients, is that it is far more interesting if you are purposeful in life to connect with your soulic process. If you have no purpose and you're moving with the wind, whatever it brings you, in the sense that you're just flying around like a windsock at a car sales place or something, that's not purpose. That isn't an intention about your life. It's important to set an intention when we begin to understand that I want to do certain things and I want to be a certain way. It's more of a be and a do and a have. You be first, you're in the being part. You do that part as best as you can during the epochs of your life, the eras, the younger ones, the middle ones, the later ones. And then you have things that are connected to the intention that you originally had, which can change and mutate, like anything else in 3D matrix. And one quick point, I'm not going to get on my rag about 3D matrix, which I've done before. We are watching this 3D matrix that we have had for so long really collapse. And yes, it definitely involves climate change, and I'm not quoting people that are doing that all the time. And there are wonderful archaeologists and people that study this that have really, really gotten into it big time, and they know it's happening. I'm not quoting or doing anything from a philosophical point of view. The glacier fell, so I feel that climate change is happening. It's just science. It's obvious. Like, mini glaciers turning into water are going to create higher water swells at coasts. It's science. So the 3D matrix that we have lived in because of our abuse of Mother Earth in so many ways, Gaia, whatever you want to call it, is occurring. And it is best to have a plan that works for you in terms of what would get you through these, and I would call them with Pluto and Capricorn, especially as it may relate to, the American democracy experiment and all of that stuff, and in the world at large. I would call it a form of end of days, which is really brought out in that book that I mentioned, oh God, probably over a year ago, The Fourth Turning. We have moved out of the space of the atom bomb went off and Oppenheimer created it, and with others, he didn't sit there and go, here, sure, I'm going to just create this bomb on my own. There was a lot of help. And so we have moved out of the post-World War II, I would say close to 1944, that period in 42, that cycle. We have moved out of that process. We are now moving into a highly, for humans, that is, technological, to some degree, AI, coming in. I don't think it's chat GTP. I think there's a lot of problems with context with that particular application, which people are discovering already. So I don't think that humans are going to be removed unless they, can't stand it anymore and they find a way to remove themselves. But we are facing a collective, massive, especially now with, the Saturn going into Pisces. Dilemma, and it means that there are ways now that we can move off fossil fuels and do these things. And I'm not just talking about electric cars or windmills in your neighborhood, or near your oceans. There are many ways that this can happen, and I do subscribe to a lot of the technology that is very well known by places that are highly they're highly secretive or have been with their projects. I don't know about NASA. They're sort of like the poster child, and they're great in their own way for the face of new technology. But I do truly have studied it a lot, and by some very, very fine people with fine minds and intellect, that we have types of energy that does not require fossil fuels. And I did, and I've been doing this for years, so it's not something somebody sent to me and it just came up in my mind. There are many people at Boeing and all of these big places, and even in other countries, that have understood zero point energy and all of these types of things that would help humanity get off the fossil fuel and the fire, quest for fire. And I would suggest that, if you're into that, you should check it out, because it is worth just at least listening to or viewing the Disclosure Project, as I've put on my Instagram page. They've done some great work. And this is not proselytizing. I'm definitely not a preacher. That is so against the way I am as a person. But it's worth ruminating on and understanding. I'm not even going to get into, let's discuss ad nauseum the perhaps the various alien presences and our galaxy being visited and all those things. I've read a lot about it. I have my own opinions, which, I'm not going to put out here. But it's worthwhile to discuss it and to learn about it. And as it really can perhaps positively affect humanity in this time of crisis. I think that we have seen this. I personally do not think that climate change and the things that are going on the Earth, on Gaia, is a huge conspiracy by a few people to create hurricanes and other things. Although I do subscribe to the possibility that there are ways to modulate the weather, and but not completely. So I'll just leave it at that. And not in a sense that somebody can devastate an entire country or devastate the world per se. I don't think it's at the so-called, I've discovered the atom bomb, and I can blow you up in 2 seconds. I don't think it's at that level, but that is my opinion. That is up to you to study and to learn about if you choose. So, as Saturn goes into, it's in Pisces, and then the full moon is happening tomorrow. There, we are going to have more of a connection to compassion and to sharing and to really uncovering the veils that hide the truth. And moon in Pisces, or the full moon in Pisces, and people that have that or have strong Pisces indicators in their chart are people when they're on a soul purpose process in their life, and they choose that. It's quite intentional when it happens, are going to be dropping these veils of BS and beginning to reveal the truth more and more, which I personally believe and think, or think because of observation, not believe, but is happening more through more positive communications via the internet and other types of, I would say, digital communications and digital entities that do this. And I mean positive. I mean people that are coming out, and I'm not going to give you a line of bull. I'm going to just show you these facts, and I'm going to walk you through it and see if this comports with intuitively with your intuitive nature. And smart people, people that believe in critical thinking, and they use it, and they have common sense, and these are people that may have not been to higher education or gone through Harvard or Ivy League colleges, which, I'm so sick of people constantly equating people that have gone through these bastions of intellect, Ivy League colleges and great places. Now, let's just put aside the tech part of it for a moment. As these are the most incredible critical thinkers of our lifetime. They're not. There are a lot of people that came out of those institutions that started wars. They were clever. They certainly were clever, but they aren't critically thinking for humanity. They're thinking in a small way with their own bias and prejudices that stem from an emotionalism of belief and belief concepts, which are as bad as any whacked out cult situation. Those guys that killed themselves in San Diego years ago, and they believed they would be go to heaven. I mean, at least they had a nice house, and they all did it together, and they were. Some of them were very well educated, but it's really easy to fall into that trap. I've been through those 70 things in the 70s, and gurus and things in the 80s that occurred. And you have to really find a way to resonate with what works for you. And following in that sense is you better know what you're doing, because it can be a very dangerous path. Putting one leader up there is, well, that's it for me. I'm following him or her or whomever it is. It means that you're giving up your power. And empowerment means you are taking back your power. You are empowering yourself. But when you just follow people somewhat listlessly around, it means you're giving it up. Like, I really don't want to decide. I personally have been in work situations, which I had another kind of work for many, many years. And this, of course, is my avocation. This is something that I've studied for years, where I really began to understand that most people want to be told what to do. Truly, I was in a position of management and beyond. I was in a position of teaching. I was in a position of being a mentor or training or whatever you want to call it, just to a greater and sometimes lesser degree. But I was still there advising. And I realized, and also people that had no connection or needed a way to go, that in a one-on-one situation, people want to be told what to do because the idea of making a decision is absolutely frightening. They become apoplectic. I don't have that problem. I have a Sun Mars conjunction, so making a decision for me after, considerations is not a big job for me, let's put it that way, which is not always great because, you're there and you're doing things, and then people depend on you to do a lot of stuff for them because you just can do something. So, with Saturn in Pisces, getting back to this, and then I'm going to do some other stuff here. I know my podcasts sometimes run long. It's going to be that the holistic process as Saturn goes through Pisces is going to be a more of a communicative, mutable level, because it's a mutable sign of communicating in a group, which is, I find, to be absolutely necessary. You have to have group communication and group awareness to understand the dilemma or the things that need to be solved. And there has to be a respect for those in the group. And there has to be an awareness of where those particular people are coming from in terms of biases or background or training or intellect or school, where they come from. And there has to be an awareness of that, even though there is an acknowledgement and a respect, but there has to be an awareness of where it's coming from. And not just bashing people because, well, you went here and you were trained by all these professors and now you think that way, or you were trained by all these, weirdos that are living on some kind of hippie commune years ago. You have to understand that they might have, a caring for humanity. They might have an idea that is so good that you can all decide on it. I believe strongly that perhaps in the future, if we can continue on for the next 10 or 12 years in terms of so-called planet Earth, as far as a livable etheric Gaia energy here, meaning, Gaia's going, I don't really, I don't care about you. I've got my own evolution to do. And you're not taking care of me, so I'm going to just move on, basically. There's no big, I don't, it's not that I don't like you, but I'm doing my thing. So if there's a community of people really understanding this and getting off this intense Pluto and Capricorn, which we'll move into Pluto and Aquarius, idea of, we're pushing fossil fuels, we're pushing greed again, whether it's in the tech industry or somewhere else. It just has to be intensity of that. And this can happen in countries that call themselves socialists or even, I really don't know what Russia is, communist or mob state. Not sure where that's going. But this pitting these ideas against each other as ideologies, it will get us nowhere. I mean, it's just a losing game all the way down the line. Ideology, when it's grabbed onto to the bitter end, I think we've seen where that's gone. That includes wars through the centuries. And so Saturn in Pisces is basically saying the lesson is community. The lesson is understanding that all politics is local. So work with your local communities. Begin to work with those. All politics is local, and then you branch out farther and farther. You can do that. Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. I'm doing these. I want to do them. I've had clients. I don't have to do them, but I choose to do this. And there are, from what I can gather from, responses, there are people that may listen to this. And they may garner something from it. But it really is about choosing to do it. Just get up, brush your teeth, wash your face, and do it. And get out there and do what you need to do, what you feel you need to do. And community is the energy that is going to be growing. Pluto in Aquarius is going to be all about whatever your local community is doing. It's going to be a lot of grassroots stuff. Those guys in the Tennessee legislature, those two men that are standing up, they were dispelled or they were pushed out a while ago, and they're speaking up for climate change and also for gun control. And people, the Gen Zs that are going, excuse me, we are the targets of this incredibly run amok non-gun control, so we are going to find a way to tamp down or eliminate the NRA and its money-making processes. So that's an intention that's set. They're the ones, if I were the target, I'd be setting the same intention. My kid's getting killed, I'm a target. I'm going to find out where I can begin to pull in and make these federal laws and hopefully enforce them in these states. At least here, I'm talking obviously strictly the U.S. So these people are doing things. They're going, I've had enough. I'm doing things. I don't think we need to say that, well, Donald Trump and his devotees and people like him or, you know, whatever they're doing in those groups that are paramilitary groups are, you know, they don't need to run the show here. You know, they don't need to do that. You know, well, we're just victims of them. Well, we were, and we have been, but why are they just running the show? I mean, what's their plan other than to pull out an AR-15 and knock off a lot of people or, you know, overthrow, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, a Democratic government or a Republican, a constitutional republic. I mean, even that, and they kind of like that stuff. So you have power, and the empowerment comes from the communities that you serve and that you put your input. You go there and talk and discuss things in your schoolrooms, in your PTA meetings, in your public offices that you do that, where you show up and put yourself out there and you have to push. You definitely have to push because people are usually very slow in bureaucratic processes. And you have to understand that it's very good to know who you're dealing with and find out what you're dealing with. And you have to also, if people are trying, understand that they have families and they need to support their families and they need a paycheck and they need to pay their bills. So they may be, you know, fronting for probably perhaps the worst policies you can think of, but they're doing it. So Saturn in Pisces has got the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's the whole panoply. It's the whole terrain. It's the big sky vista of, you know, what do we do here? How do we do it? And how do we include everybody without making them feel, even if they want to do good and have the will to good, making them feel, I want to hear your story. I want to see what's going on. And all I can say is, even if these people have to grab on or hold on desperately to a paycheck, it's important for those in the group or in your community, starting from that point, to understand that the good of the whole is going to help everyone. It's not just going to be for one person. And that is what is falling apart in the 3D matrix. One person or five people or four billionaires or X or whatever, you know, Elon Musk is doing during the day, you know, cleaning his fingernails or having a, you know, a bowl of ice cream or something, is not going to make the entire life happen in this particular space and in the world. He or people that are doing that in terms of a super personalized type of thing, and I believe he thinks he's doing good, and SpaceX is kind of cool. I mean, they've done some good things, I have to say, but it's not about him coming up with that idea, him or people like him, and one person. It's about we. It's not about me. That's what it's about. That old term of there's no I in team is kind of like what people go to. But this term, with Pluto going into Aquarius, it's about we not me. And that is what is going to forcibly happen once Pluto goes direct again in Aquarius in October. Saturn is in Pisces. These are very compatible signs, by the way. They love each other. Pisces and Aquarius are like kind of the dynamic duo here. Saturn's there and Pluto's there, and like, we're gonna rock this. We're gonna do this. We are definitely going to, make this, make this come true, or make it happen. Make the group community come together. Pisces more so in many ways, because there is compassion, and also eventually Saturn will catch up to Neptune in Pisces, and that's when, we really begin to start to get off fossil fuels worldwide. It will be worldwide. There'll be all of it. And I did do a podcast on, I think it was titled Gen Z and the Age of Aquarius. I didn't go deeply into that particular age group because there's so much there. It would take 3 hours to get through it. But between the Gen Z crowd all around the world, not just in America, so just chuck that idea that it's simply defined by US stuff going on here, but in perhaps maybe more Western societies or socialistic societies, whatever their particular government is, starting there, and then other countries. There are people in Russia that left that are Gen Zs that ran to Finland when Ukraine started. They're just psychologically and soulically not on board with there's a dictator or some dictator president in some country, any country, and like we're just gonna follow everything they say. That is never, ever, ever gonna happen. You think the 60s riots during the 1968 convention in Chicago and all of these wonderful people being shot down, John Kennedy or Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King, I mean, all of them to the best of their ability. John Kennedy was very definitely an aristocrat. So, he was kind of trying to move through the process with his brother doing things, but they tried. And Martin Luther King, of course, is a pillar of really putting it out there in a way that Malcolm X did on the other side of the coin. Malcolm X was very militant, and he did offer a lot of great stuff for people to understand. There has to be that element there where, we're done taking the crap. So these Gen Zs and this group, they're not like millennials. Millennials got in, the early ones, in more of a, wow, it's 80s, cool, like we're born and we've got this, things are going on. But they did take a hit when, at least in the US, I'm not sure how it really rippled through all of the world. During 2008 and 09, during the Wall Street crash. So they understand that things can happen in a way where, three people are getting all the goodies, and then suddenly everybody has to get their jobs are gone, and they're walking out of Bear Stearns and, all these great bastions of Wall Street with their boxes in their hand. Going, and they're 25 and they're 28 going during their Saturn returns, of course. What the hell happened here? I went to college, I did all the best things, I did the right thing, and now they're thinking about their life in many different ways. And they have children, and they're probably thinking about, probably a little more minimalism in their life. Gen Zs are already there, they're already at the minimalist stage. They're at the stage of it's about we, not me. They may not like it all the time because, like, wow, this is a bad deal, at the end of late stage capitalism to some degree, and in other countries as well, because we're all transacting internationally now with transnational companies. So it isn't just, oh, there's a company here in one state, in one nation, and then it doesn't interact with another and another. They are all interactive. And this started in primarily the early 80s when, we started shipping out our company worked for cheap labor and cheap products. And I think we all know the story on that. So with Saturn, and it'll eventually catch up to Neptune. in Pisces, this is going to be, it's either all about us, the world, and Pisces is the world, that's the sign, and Pluto in Aquarius, or you guys don't have a hope in hell. I mean, you know, it'll be the AMC, The Walking Dead, The Last of Us, every apocalyptic film you've ever seen, you know, to some degree. It's obviously will not be as intense, but that is obviously, you know, they're doing an hyperbolic, which is what fiction is supposed to do. They create things of what could be, and we've had many of that. But you know, when you think about it, some of those things, Contagion, that's another movie, you know, all of these things are like rather predictable in many ways, and like, wow, how did that happen? Oh, there's COVID now. Now we got COVID. And there's no one, the problem that is going on, there's no one little tiny little group that I'm sure Stanley Kubrick, whom I love as a director, would love to write a movie about, that's just sitting up there, you know, I've got the world on a string, you know, and everything's at my fingertips. It's a lot of people, and a lot of people in bureaucratic institutions, and a lot of people in things that are old world, what I would call old world institutions, that are still holding on to the old, and they're still holding on. And it's, there are certain things that are good about that traditionally, but, and you shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, which is kind of a terrible phrase, but it's the only thing I can think of right now. You know, save the baby, what's good about it, and get rid of the old. And there are people and groups of people, which will be more about the group effort, which is Pluto in Aquarius, that begins to just really protest and get rid of it. It's got to go. And I have spoken about this in prior podcasts, that the reason why people that are, you know, in their geriatric years living so long is that in the last 40 years, let's say, I would just say 40, 30. I mean, California is an exception because we've been doing health food and all that crap for, you know, lots of years, even before this, and living better, perhaps because of the weather, not always, you know, but we've kind of pushed that thing. But I will just say that people that are in the geriatric stage, moving into, we're moving into through the 70s, 80s, 90s, and even a little before, but not too much. They're in positions of power. They're living too long because they have great medical care, and they probably have maybe treated their body better for years. And so their organs are still in pretty good shape. They're not like organs you would want to pass on to anybody if they died, because they're pretty old. But they're in positions of power, and they don't die naturally because they've got all kinds of medical help and orthopedic help and all kinds of things to keep them alive and viable, even cogently viable. Whereas in prior centuries, and even in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, all these kind of older thinking people, because they came out of an older generation where they're stuck in, you know, as they would say, the horse and carriage, and oh my God, there's a car with gas, you know, I mean, they're like freaking out, you know, I mean, they're happy about it to some degree, but they think in terms of, you know, I remember when I used to get in the hansom carriage. So they're running countries, or they're politicians, and they're making decisions with a bias that is not thinking in a new way. So now we've got every generation, even those born in 1920, some of them. I mean, Henry Kissinger, I don't know when he was born, but he's still around. My God, I'm amazed. He doesn't leave his lair because he's a war criminal. So if he goes anywhere in certain countries that have called him that, he's going to get taken away. They're living very long lives. Some of them are still in positions of power, and some in our country in the Senate. I'm not going to name names because you can just look them up, and I'm basically don't give a damn as far as the names. It's just they're there and they're hanging on. And those people know who they are, believe me. And years ago, it's centuries ago, decades ago, these people would probably die naturally because they were old and things were worn out, and you just do that and you go as gracefully as you can. But they're not going. That's the problem. And I would venture to say that there are some that are late boomers, perhaps, in those capacities that still have more of a bias, and they're still stuck in their own reality as far as, the 60s or the 70s or something like that. And some of them should just let go now. And late, early boomers, who knows? I don't know the names, but as far as legislatures and around the world, but they're still there. And the problem is they may be pretty good people and somewhat liberal, but they're blocking their bias if they're in positions of power, if they don't kind of work with the group better. They're blocking what could be done. And there's nothing I can say about that because if they have the medical help to stay living and stay in power, and they eat better and they're healthier, it's very hard to wrench them. I mean, I have pushed in terms of where I live in the U.S., term limits for everything. The Supreme Court, absolutely term limits. This thing for life is ludicrous. Term limits for Senate, term limits for the U.S. House, definitely. That way, years ago, when it was started, long, what, we're 250 years old or something, people with knowledge and schooling and everything that were creating the rule of law country, they stayed and then they left and let younger people in, and they carried it on because they were just, my God, they didn't get great health care. They didn't even have it then. They didn't even have doctors that were doing great things or dentists. So they went home and they got old and they were in their dotage and they sat on the porch and, and they died and they got out of the way, basically. But it was meant for that. You basically make your money at home in your world where you live, if you're a person of means and money, and then you do public service for 4 to 8 years and then you're out. And then you do whatever you want to do. Now, public service has become like a lifer job. It's not a lifer job. Public service should be cleaned out, at least every 8 years. 12 years is pretty long. It should be cleaned out at least that. So there are many people pushing this, and when Pluto goes into Aquarius, that will become an issue. You've done enough. You've been here 18 frickin' years. You need to move on. And people have to start voting. Especially younger people and gerrymandering and voting for those that are moving into a newer and more palatable platform for the times that are going on now, which are generally people that are younger. They generally understand it, and there's more cogent element there, coherency. Now, this gets into the issue here, which I will speak to very briefly because I really do not want to get into it. Joe Biden. Joe Biden has been in the Senate. He's our president for, 35 years. He is cogent. I think there are problems there. I'm not going to elucidate on them. And he only has a limited amount of time left. But that doesn't mean that we should stick a Donald Trump in that place, who's actually a little bit younger than him and barely cogent, in my opinion. But, or someone like that, or any Yahoo that's, a devotee of Trump and just does everything he tells him to do. So it's basically a fallacy of equation. He's there because there's a lot of things that had to be straightened out. It was just a screwed up mess. And in years to come, it'll all come out and people will read about it like they do with everything in any other country. God, wow, I can't believe that. During the Bay of Pigs, we were nearly bombed, and there could have been a war. I mean, wow, we didn't know that happened. But these things do happen. They did happen. They were at the precipice of happening. So He's there now. Who knows if he'll be there next? But it doesn't mean you replace one bad situation in terms of age and geriatric situation in terms of people that are too old to serve with another one or some crazy loon that's younger and, is supposed to be president because they have cool memes or they're on Instagram or whatever. These are all things that need to be sorted out, obviously. But with Pisces, Saturn in Pisces and Neptune in Pisces, there is the risk of, getting into the cult mindset and, oh, I like him or I like her or, they're saying what I like because we're so saturated with media. We are so saturated with social media and what's cool and what's this and what's that. Boy, I thought that was happening years ago, but it's just ridiculous. When you have people just so following these rules, there are people that, they won't get hired for things unless their Instagram or their social media is at like millions and millions of followers, which is just completely unbelievable to me, just observing it. And they won't get hired because that's the platform that perhaps their employer works on and says, well, I need you to have, the entire world running around after you, which is, beyond lunacy. But it is what we're living in right now to make a buck. It's beyond lunacy, but here's the way you make a buck. I need you to have like 90 million freaking followers or whatever all over the world. And if you do that naturally, which people have done in prior decades, well, great, that's great. But people are being denied jobs because of these particular types of social media platforms that require, I want you to have an MBA to make this incredible coffee for our CEO. Really, screw you. I don't need an MBA to do that. Okay. So I can completely understand that. With Saturn and Neptune in Pisces, there will, and Pluto in Aquarius, there will be tremendous amount of protests, more on a group level, on a wider group level to this kind of ridiculous supplicancy to the power of the digital age. And there's too much of the supplicancy to that type of power going on in terms of hiring people, especially in Hollywood now with the strike going on. I've worked in this in that area, and believe me, they will pay for this strike, not giving writers and actors and people that work behind the scenes their due course and the money that they deserve. They will pay for it. They think they won't, but they will. Not the entire world is not run on one or two platforms where media and fictional content and otherwise can be streamed. They will pay for this. And it won't be pretty. So anybody that can't stand the entertainment business in California, the place you love to hate, you'll get your Yahoo on when this all, comes to bear in January of 2024. And Pluto goes into Aquarius in October, so I expect a deal to be struck by the writers and the actors by then. I mean, it won't be perfect by any means because it never is. But these titans that are holding on to these studios this way, these are the old guard. And they're good, and they were good when they did whatever they did. They moved the company along. But now they're old. And now their thinking is old and it's calcified. And they're not thinking ahead. They think they're thinking ahead, but they're not. And they're sitting there going, yes, board member, I will do this for you because my job is to make money for the board members. Well, yeah, maybe it is. Yeah, that's their directive, their prime directive. But those board members, in terms of making money, are going to lose it if they do not get off the dime or get off their little soapbox and get things moving. Nothing happens when things are not moving. Nothing. And this is what they do not understand in this space. So I'll leave it at that. I'm sure it'll be worked out. October will be very interesting in terms of how that all works out because There are only so many reality shows people want to watch, even on the streaming platform, or baking shows. So as we move on to Pluto and Aquarius, as it moves in there in October and moves on, it may go back one more time. I have to check that. But the full moon tomorrow in Pisces is going to be pretty strong. And please check your charts as far as your Pisces aspects in there. And I think many of you have done your chart and you know it, and you perhaps look at it or check it out or work with things. So I'm going to do right now, like I promised, and this will probably be a long podcast. I'm going to do the cardinal signs in love. Last time I did the fixed signs in love, in terms of how they respond to going out for love, getting love, all of the things around that. So I'll do that. And then the next podcast I do, I will do the mutable signs in love. And because they're all over the map. Mutable signs, I mean, they are the far more liberal than the cardinal or fixed signs in love. So enjoy the full moon tomorrow in Pisces. Check your charts with any squares, conjunctions, sextiles, and oppositions to any Pisces planets you have, because they will affect you. That full, it's a biggie full moon. It's going to be intense. I believe that it will also it will, you know, eventually oppose Mercury in Virgo right now. It will certainly conjoin Neptune at some point, and it will, you know, have a very strong effect on those with a strong Pisces signature going on in their charts. So I would say ascendant, Sun, Mercury, Venus, the outer planets, perhaps not so much, Saturn. There's a lot of you out there that are Saturn Pisces, and you know, you'll be getting your Saturn hit. You'll have a Saturn conjunct Saturn. So it's basically a Saturn return for you coming up soon by degree. You will be having your Saturn return. You'll be in your later years, because you're born in 1965, 64, 65, 66. So it'll be, you'll be in your later years, but you will, it's a reckoning of sorts. You will really begin to calibrate what you want to do in your latter, the latter part of your next movement into, as you get older in terms of 3D matrix. I mean, you know, we're in a physical body, it gets old. No matter how good you look, you know, inside, it's, you know, they're going, yeah, we're rooting for you know, with your innards, but you're getting older. And and those people will, you know, try and stay young and do what they need to do. But also, again, Saturn and Pisces people with the 65, 66, a little in 67, and but that main group core, you also have your Chiron conjunct that Saturn in Pisces. So it will be more of a double whammy in terms of Saturn hitting your Saturn and Chiron. It means that you make some very big decisions about your life. It is an element of surrender. You have to let things go that were important to you maybe decades ago or years ago. You have to let them go. That's Chiron. And learn to serve the greater good in whatever milieu you are in, what you're doing. Learn to give more, because Chiron is definitely about the wound and how we didn't get enough and how we were hurt and how things, you know, just, you know, they just keep crawling and getting in under our skin, and they're not working, or we're not getting enough of what we want out of our life. So when it hits that Saturn and Chiron conjunction, which that group has, you will definitely feel that there's a part of your life that is ending, at least emotionally and psychologically, a part of your life. And some will feel it more than others. And it's possible that people that you knew or loved could leave your life or not be in your life anymore, or could exit your life. And this is not necessarily through death or anything that would be traumatic. It can be just psychological or emotional. It just is not working anymore. So please do not take it to the level of the mundane in that way. It could be. It's a possibility. I would check it out and see what house it's in, what the arena, the theater of operation in terms of how it will express itself. The eighth house is strong with that conjunction of Saturn and Chiron. I would say the 10th house, the ascendant, is strong, the fourth house. The others are strong, but houses on the, you know, in those areas, and the seventh house as well, are strong, are a bit stronger, but they pack a punch, and you will feel that. So check to see in your chart if Saturn is conjunct your Chiron in Pisces, and you know, maybe Saturn's on your moon. If it's going to conjunct your moon, there could be loss there as well. But it is, I would call, the changing of the guard, the changing of the guard that you put up, what you put out as a persona of who you are. It's the changing where you reveal yourself more. Pisces is revelatory, if anything. It's either escaping or revealing. That's it. And there are many mutations of that in Pisces. You know, it's the deepest part of the ocean is Pisces. Cancer is almost it's the tidal wave. It's the tsunami, the clearest part, the tsunami. Oh, I see it coming. The cardinal sign. Scorpio is the dirty water, the swampy water, the place where things can grow even in like funky water. That's what it is. That's a great name for a band, Funky Water. Anyway, you know, it's that. But Pisces is the deepest, most iridescent, most secretive part of the water expression in the water trinity. It's the deepest part. And thus, with Chiron connected, Chiron is the initial wound of the spirit, of the soul, when we come in. If it's connected to Saturn, in that group, it is connected. That Uranus and they have Uranus and Pluto and Virgo, it's opposed, that Saturn and that Chiron in Pisces. You know, because it will oppose the Pluto and Uranus in Pisces at the same time as it connects the Saturn, as it conjuncts the Saturn and the Chiron, opposing those planets. So you will feel loss and revelation at the same time. This is really who I am. You know, this is really what I want to be. I want to have more in my life, or I want to release the crap that's there, that's just kind of hanging on. And this can be, as I say, in the most psychological, deepest part of us and emotional part of us. It can also be meeting someone or a mentor or people in your life that even create a bigger space for you to reveal the emotional life that you've always wanted to have. And I always view this group with Saturn conjunct Chiron opposed Uranus, Pluto, and Virgo. Virgo is very practical. They're very to the point, very technical. They're very like, I don't need that. I'm efficient. I can do everything on my own. But they can't do emotion alone. That Uranus, Pluto group that has it in Virgo, you know, they're brilliant. I mean, they've detailed the technological, you know, great stuff in our life, but it's like that. I can do emotion alone. I just need my technical crap here. I'm fine. You know, my robot can talk to me. Obviously, I'm being hyperbolic here. You know, I don't need people. I don't need the human emotion. I don't need the human person crying and telling me that they love me. You know, I can be a loner. That's that crowd, and they're great. You know, they're supremely disciplined. But that Pisces, Saturn in Pisces and Chiron in Pisces opposing that Uranus, Pluto, and Virgo. It's an opposition, and boy, it's big. Is saying you cannot do it alone. You need to have love in your life. You need to have food, psychic food, and emotional food and loving food in your life. You need people. You need sociability in a more deep and meaningful way. You need to show your wounds. People will embrace you. They will love you more. They will say, wow, I didn't even know there was like a really cool person under all that. A really like soft, loving, kind of into the world and a human person under all that. So with the opposition, it is always tearing you into the human, which is Saturn and the Chiron conjunct, into the loving human. I've got to be a person here and feel something, Pisces, And then Uranus and Pluto and Virgo going, I can't feel anything. I just have to keep going. I'm like a little robot. I have to make it happen. I have to work. And they're so disciplined. They're wonderful to watch in action. They're really beautiful. They just get it done, which is wonderful. But you gotta be a person at the end of the day, and you gotta have a feeling, and you gotta have some emotion around this. And you have to start to feel with others and allow them to feel who you are as well and let them in. That's really what it is. That opposition is a fascinating opposition to study. At least I find it to be so. And you gotta let them in. And so when that hits, Saturn will hit that degree, depending on your age, of your Chiron and your Saturn in Pisces. At the same time, it will oppose your Uranus and Pluto in Virgo. Generally speaking, it will be within that degree structure, corridor, I would say. Then you will see that you're going to a higher level of emotion and bringing people into your life and openness in your life. You really are there to be more open. Yes, you have all the technical and I can get it freaking done ability. You can do it. And there's great ability and great ability to ascertain what is needed of you and kind of to be more supplicant to that, but there's also a humanness that needs to come out. So that's going to happen soon. Just check your chart with the degrees, and I give it a 7-degree window, depending on where your Saturn and Chiron are degrees and where your Uranus and Pluto are. Seven, you can push it to 10 if you want. You're certainly going to feel it, but the intensity of it is in that window. You'll feel it in terms of the sign, and look where the house is, where it's all going to kind of unravel. There's unraveling and there's gathering. There's unraveling, there's revelation with Pisces, and there's gathering with the Virgo thing that wants to stay grounded. That's the whole thing. I'm Earth. I want to stay grounded. I want to keep, basically, Virgo is like, I'm going to keep on my game, and I don't care if you're in the way. I'm going to keep on my game. Get out of my way. Pisces is more, well, you're a really cool person. I need to open up. Maybe I could learn something from somebody. So these people are going to be going through it, and they'll be older. They're going into a more older stage of their life. So there's a lot of wisdom that will come out of them, depending on their line of work and if they choose to share that. So we're going to go into now the cardinal signs in love, and I'm going to bomb through this a little bit. At some point, I will, move through the Pluto in Aquarius that goes in October and get more into some other, actually start to pick apart some charts so that we can see more aspectarian type things. So when you have Venus, let's say the love planet, in we'll go through the cardinal signs, Aries, and then there's Cancer, and then there's Libra, and then there's Capricorn. So there's four there. So when you have Venus and Aries in a cardinal sign, that's just out there. They're very, very expressive. Super, super expressive. It's just right there. And I love you, and I'm there. And they will, if they want something, they won't, will not quit until they get it. So if you're kind of a really passive person and they want you'll probably get caught. Because they will charm you and you will just really love it. Because it's so not like you to be out there that much that you'll go, wow, I really need the kind of strength this person has to offer in terms of expressing their emotions. And again, with Venus and Aries, as in any sign, but there, if there are oppositions to it from other planets or sextiles or trines, or conjunctions, it will affect how they express themselves. The more conjunction they have, like Sun, Mercury, Mars, that kind of thing, or a Jupiter or something like that, they will be more concentrated in their expression of what they want, and they'll get it. If there's a Sun, if there's a Venus in Aries, like with any sign, and conjunct Saturn, or maybe another out-of-planet, Uranus or something, it'll be a little more difficult. Venus conjunct Saturn does not give way to a full joyful expressions of love, meaning outward expressions. They may do it in smaller ways, But there's a fear there. And especially with Venus conjunct Saturn in Aries, I would say that they're handicapped if they have that conjunction in some way. And they have to learn to trust, and they can't get into this cynical routine of, if I love somebody and express my deep love, that they're going to, eventually dump me or not want me. There's a furtiveness, there's a holding back with the natural Mars Aries expression when Venus is conjunct Saturn in Aries in that way. Usually it's conjunct, Venus is conjunct Sun or maybe Mercury, generally speaking. And Venus conjunct Sun or Mercury is very expressive in that way. But Venus in Aries on its own, and look at the house it's in, if you've got it, is very expressive, and they basically put their heart is on their sleeve. They put it out there. And they do it wonderfully. They're very loving in that way, and it's just a joy to see somebody with that aspect that isn't trying to hold back all the time. It's really, truly joyful. And those that are more passive or don't do that a lot are like, whoa, what is this? This is pretty awesome and pretty overwhelming. They overwhelm you and they don't care. That's the beauty of Aries. They don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to overwhelm you and you're going to love it and just be quiet and enjoy it and let's have fun. That's the beauty. They're so natural in their Mars expression. And that's Mars. They're going to be there, they're going to show up, and they're going to love you. And they're going to show it in the way they can. So if you've got somebody in your life or you have that, maybe you have experienced that, sometimes you get dumped by others when even when you show your love, but boy, they truly love that you are able to do that. Believe me, they're jealous that you can do that without having a thought of regret. They're jealous that you could do that. So it's a lovely thing to have, Venus and Aries. In some ways they do have the upper hand in that way, even though, you may be thinking, wow, what the hell is going on here? They're overly doing this or whatever. They're doing exactly what they want to do. Conquering you. That's the goal. And in so many cases they do. So that's one. Now you need to check if there are oppositions to that, because that will block that kind of energy a little bit in your chart if you own that aspect, if that's, one of your planetary significators. So then we've got Venus here in, so we've got Aries, and then we have Cancer. Venus and Cancer, a cardinal sign. So Venus and Cancer is definitely passive. They wait for people to come in and overwhelm them. Even though their emotions toward the person they may love or care for or have affection for, and during the stages of our lives, whether you're younger, in the middle, or older, it just depends on where you're at emotionally. They will let somebody overwhelm them and then they'll overwhelm them, but they wait for somebody first to overwhelm them, like, have a declaration of love or say, I want to marry you on the third date or something. Venus in Cancer is, they do go for people that are far more demonstrative than they would ever be in their life, Venus in Cancer. It's a beautiful aspect, Venus in Cancer, and it is more geared toward, I want a commitment, I am a cardinal sign as well, Aries. But I want a commitment. Cancer is water, and they want some sort of emotional commitment. Not all of them require a ring on their finger or a marriage certificate or some kind of partnership that is codified or done in a way that's deliberate. But most of them do with Venus and Cancer. They want to make sure you're the person. I do not want to have to go out and start. You go into bars and start looking for people with my girlfriends or boyfriends or people I'm with, and start running around. They are not bar hoppers. They're not really into that. If they have more fire in their chart, they might be. But generally, a standalone Venus in Cancer is I want some kind of an emotional commitment from somebody that I really dig and want to be with. And then they wait for the overture from the person that they're basically already scanning big time, even though they don't show it. So they're more passive. So if you're more demonstrative in terms of your chart setup and significators and more fiery, earthy is better for long-term relationships with water, but if you're more fiery, they're attracted to that. You know, I mean, they're not afraid of it. You know, I mean, they're attracted to somebody taking the reins and doing it and going, you know, this is what we're going to do. You're going to marry me or you're going to be with me or whatever it is. And emotionally, they, you know, they don't mind being overwhelmed because believe me, eventually they will overwhelm you with Venus in Cancer. You know, they will, you know, where are you? I need you to be home on certain nights. They can be very insecure in that way, and they have to work on those issues. You know, they want to make sure you're mine and you're not somewhere else, or I have most of your time. So those boundaries, if you're going to get into some real long-term committed type of thing, have to be worked out before that goes on with a Venus in Cancer person, because they're not going to put up with, you know, the Don Draper, I'm out all night, nobody calls me kind of thing. That's an icon from a show, Mad Men, you know. I didn't have a cell phone. Obviously, they weren't created in 1960. But it's like, they're not going to put up with that. They will throw tantrums. They will create drama. Your life will be a living hell unless you have a commitment and you give them the security that they do need with Venus in Cancer. So if you have that, or you know anybody you're hanging out with or want to be with that particular placement, you need to look at what are the oppositions, what are the conjunctions. Sextiles and trines are always really nice in your chart, and what's going on with them. But when they're committed and strong, Venus in Cancer, very loving, very nurturing, and great with kids, good family people, you know, I think they could handle at least two kids if you want to do that. They'd probably have to get a lot of help if they had four or five or six kids. But they're very nurturing, and they tend to nurture their mates, you know, really almost mothering, because Cancer is a mothering sign, almost overly mothering the mates they're with. So if you're not into that overly mothering thing or overly nurturing, which can apply to anybody who's like that, doesn't depend on what gender they are. It's great for you if you like that. If you are not into that and it's too cloying, it's too, too much attachment oriented, I would say that in the end, it may not work out. I mean, water and earth work better together for the long run in many ways in marriages and in strong bonding that goes on perhaps for decades. Fire and air work better. But, you know, sometimes you really choose what you're not because you need to learn those lessons. So that's what Venus in Cancer does. And they're very loyal and very giving. Now we'll look at Venus in Libra. Some people pronounce it that way. That's a sticky wicket. It's a different thing. It's lovely, Venus in Libra. Usually the person is very into how they come off to other people. They're very concerned concerned about their persona and how they are seen by others. Libra, in my opinion, and, you know, Aries may argue this, and Leo may argue this, which is kind of funny. It is my observational opinion from working with a lot of people that Venus in Libra is the most vanity-oriented position. And Libra in and of itself, too, Sun in Libra. There is a vanity there. They're very good at not showing it. They're very cunning. They're very good at, you know, having the vanity but not putting it in your face like Aries does, maybe, because they're the opposite sign of Aries. But Venus in Libra there's a lot of vanity there. And they want to be with somebody who's interesting and who looks good in the community or looks great at their job or is pretty or has some real glitz and glam with the social milieu that they enjoy. And believe me, they're social. Venus in Libra is social. If you're a homebody and you don't want to go out and do the social stuff or at least be involved in a lot of that more often, they're not for you because they enjoy it. And they may just socialize themselves right out of the bonding or the marriage or the partnership because they like to be seen, they want to be noticed, and they put a lot of effort into how they look and how they want to be noticed. They curate it, they're cultivated. And they're lovely. They're very interesting and very, usually very intellectually very interesting. And they are not necessarily cloying or wanting, attachment so much as recognition and attention. Libra is vanity. I'm sorry, it's a very Venus ruled sign, and Taurus is too. But Taurus is earthy. They're perfectly willing to be, happily. Congratulated for their fabulous blueberry pie. I mean, that's a big win, at home or their decor. Libra wants to be seen like at great clubs and wonderful political events, and they want to really work the room. Generally, they're in politics or law, and there's either Saturn there or Venus or Sun sign and Mercury and Mars. But they want to be in the world, no matter how much they bitch about all the idiots they have to work with, which you'll get a lot of that. They really dig being, with the people and getting out there. When they're very, very honest, they make wonderful politicians and they make fantastic lawyers when they really follow the law in a way that has more integrity, which of course is always very debatable because it can be used in so many awful or pernicious ways that, they can be good at that too as well. They can twist it as well. So they generally enjoy having a good bio, a good rep, good credentials, good pedigree. They like to marry up. They have been known to dump people and marry up, Venus and Libra. But they definitely offer people that are ambitious. Their partners, let's say their partners and themselves, but mainly that they're very good partners for people that are super ambitious. They will support you if they dig you and they love you. And they'll be with you there through the trauma and the trials and all the good stuff, and they'll look great while they're doing it. They're going to make you look great and they're going to look great. They'll always look great. And they're always going to probably push you to look great as well because they like that couple thing. That Libra is a twosome thing. They want that couple look. Whatever you're into, you could be, into be artists or politicians or writers, but like we're cool writers or we're awesome artists or we're great politicians or we're a power couple. They like that a lot. So if Saturn's there in Libra or Sun or Mercury or the Moon, there's going to be a lot of that going on. Venus there, they're very good with showing their love in the sense that, you deserve me. You're getting a great deal with me with Venus there. And I will show my love when I want to. So sometimes they're withholding in that way because they want to be special, and they do make a good street cred. I mean, they do make a great entrance. So that's their deal, and they do have depth. There are some that are with the Venus and Libra. They have great depth. It depends on their orientation. If they're solically oriented and they want to really move in that milieu, in that area, and grow, they're tremendously powerful influences on people in their with their partnership. They're very into the partnership though, whether they're in a law partnership or in an emotional marriage or partnership with their partner, whether they're married or not. They like that, and they're open, and they're an air sign, and those are the stipulations there with Venus and Libra. But they're not going to be running toward, I would say introverted people that haven't been out of the basement in a long time. They're drawn to people that have power and people that have influence. It's more influence for them. They like money, definitely, because if you live the good life, you know. But they're drawn to people of influence. I think they like influence more than they even like the money that may come with it, that may. They like that a lot. So that's Venus in Libra. Now we'll go to Capricorn, cardinal sign. Venus in Capricorn, very different than Venus in Cancer, very different than Venus in Aries, and somewhat to a degree different than Venus in Libra, which is a air sign. So Venus in Capricorn is Earth. They are truly loyal, at their best. If they do not want to stay with a partner, they will try to build a case. You know, Libra's a car, I mean, Capricorn's a cardinal sign, a case where this is why I'm leaving you. So they build up a bunch of receipts and cases why I don't want to be with you anymore, Venus and Capricorn. They tend to marry people that are on a power track in some manner of what they love. You know, it could be tech, it could be anything, could be art, could be anything, but they're definitely want people that are on a power track. They don't necessarily want people that are not having some kind of very coordinated, very organized way in which they live and display their emotions. They're not big on PDA, public display of affections. If there's oppositions in their charts or trines, as I said before, squares, of course, I have to throw those squares in. They could have blockages to this, but they tend to be reserved and moderate, and they're calculating, they're cunning. When they want somebody, they want somebody. So they're Venus and Capricorn. They're not as open as Aries at all, or Libra, in going for what they want, but they get it done anyway. They find a way. You know, they find little remote ways to get in there and to calculate and to find cunning ways of knowing so much about who you are, you're amazed that that's who you are once they tell you. And that's very flattering to the people that are getting that particular info, you know, because they'll go on a date and they know all about you. And it's flattering. You know, I mean, they're not stalking you, they're not stalker-esque. But, you know, wow, I mean, or they'll know about you and comport whatever they're saying to things in which you are involved with or enjoy. But Venus in Capricorn is just not about love. I love you. Okay, let's get married. That's not their gig. It's about, I want a life with somebody that's real, that is no bullshit and has dependability in it, and they're not running around on me or running around doing stuff that is, you know, I have to clean up every day when they come home. They want dependability. Not every partner, as we know, or including ourselves, can be that dependable. We're human. But they definitely have to get some agreements going or ways in which they feel confident that the person they pick to build their little nest with is going to be dependable. And they have to know them a little bit more than all the other signs that I just mentioned. So they're going to wait it out before they say yes to a partnership or marriage proposal or whatever you're offering them. They're going to wait it out a little longer. They're going to see. They're going to, what do they do during the day? Oh, how do they act? They're not going to just run into something and go, yeah, let's do it. Venus in Capricorn it's Saturn ruled Capricorn. So there's no way they're running into the fire. That's Venus in Aries. Oh, I love the fire. It's hot. It's great. I love you. It's affectionate. It's awesome. You know, Venus in Capricorn is like, oh, no. We're not doing it that way. We're going to see how this works out. And I'm going to see how comfortable I feel with this person for the long run. Capricorn's in it for the long run, unless they have aspects in their chart as a Capricorn or Venus in Capricorn or Sun in Capricorn that basically they want different types of partners, which would indicate maybe their Mars is in another sign, or their outer planets are in other signs, or their moon is more of a water sign. They may have other partners. But when they have a partner, it is usually for a length of time, even though they may change partners. So Capricorn and Venus in Capricorn, very dependable. And, they may not be angry when you break up with them or something doesn't work out or you get a divorce or whatever happens. But believe me, you'll pay for it, either financially or emotionally, with kids and all kinds of things. They are not going to let you get off the hook that easy. They want the receipts and they will take you to task for all of it. So be very aware of that. And those holding that placement and significator should look at your chart. Are there squares to that? Difficulties, oppositions, difficulties, trines, sextiles, good stuff, cool, good stuff with that. It gives you more incentive. But Venus in Capricorn, the cardinal signs, that's what's going on. They won't let go until they really have to. Venus in Cancer, as Venus in Capricorn, they're similar. They won't let go until they have to because they have an emotional investment. Venus in Capricorn has a persona investment. How do I look to the world? They're Capricorns. We have to look a certain way. There's a persona. I have to come across a certain way. I have a reputation to uphold. Venus in Cancer doesn't think that way. I have a home to uphold. I have kids. I have a life of, emotions are going on. Very different, but in the same intensity. The same intensity. So, cardinal signs in love, pretty strong, pretty committed when they go for it. And very different than my last podcast when I went through the fixed signs in love. And the next podcast will be mutable signs in love. And hopefully it'll be sooner than this thing because this thing podcast has gone on too long. But be aware of that. As I said, look at your charts, look at these aspects. I will do at some point, again, some of the planets and houses, like all of them, because these are important and on angles. I'll do a refresher on that one because it's important and aspects. So I have to gear up for that. But right now, I just want to complete this with the North Node that is transiting now is in Aries, and Chiron is in Aries as well right now as a transit, and they're pretty close. I mean, they're literally 7 degrees away from each other. So there's some big doings going on in the world that are going to really upend everything in the next, 4 to 6 months. It's already happening. And Uranus is 23 Taurus again, as we know, and Jupiter is at 15. So that's not too far away from each other. It's a little farther away, but when Jupiter and Uranus hit in Taurus, we might get some better traction in terms of bringing people to justice. Taurus is not, Libra is the justice sign as well as Capricorn, but Taurus will really reveal some of the really, with Jupiter there, the ways in which we absolutely must change the way in which we carry on with our governmental agencies and the rule of law in the way that there is integrity and that there is accountability in that way. Taurus isn't, they do not, it's not a depiction of the law. That is, but it definitely is, we need to order this situation, get it in order, fiscal order and otherwise, in order to have dependability in our government systems, in our overall life as human beings. Perhaps it pertains mainly to the US and perhaps other countries going through a lot of things, but in this case, we all experience it differently in terms of nations. Nations are, they have charts, they were born at a certain time in terms of their so-called induction incorporation when they were born. So they do have charts, they are entities. But, things are going to get very, very, very real. And luckily, Aries is there to upset the apple cart on everything. So expect the unexpected, even more so than we already have. And carry on and, clarify your purpose in life more and more, what you want to do and how you can do it and where you can do it and best with whom you want to do it. The more you are soulically connected to your life, no matter what age you're in, the more you will make it through a lot of the travails and the things that are upending the greater collective in 3D matrix, the more you do that. And I always want to push that, even with all of this stuff that I'm, talking about on these podcasts. You will be more connected to it, to who you are. That's the point. It's about we, not me. Yet you need to find where your individuation, where it stands and what you stand for, and do it. All these people that are making a stand about, we need to look at the greater collective good. We need to get off this, chaos, snow run that we're on, constant chaos, which is totally unnecessary and, in my opinion, just bullcrap. They are really trying to make a life, not only for themselves, but for others. That is where solically we need to put our energies. And on that note, have a wonderful full moon. Enjoy the Pisces bath of the full moon. And hopefully, I'll get on this thing sooner than later. It's been a rough time. So be well and remember to self-nurture. That's it.